Hey guys, I'm Caleb Giddings, and you're watching another episode of Gunday Brunch brought to you by Taurus USA and Bleecker Street Publications. You also may be listening to this, and if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcast, make sure you go ahead and drop us a 5-star review and even leave like a text review, right? Like say, hey, this is a great podcast. I wish these guys would actually update more often, which I apologize for that. As the primary driving force behind the show, I'm also responsible for making sure updates get pushed out on time. And I do have a funny anecdote about the last audio show that we dropped where we didn't have a video component because when I shot it, I didn't really pay attention to the settings that I had on my camera. And I shot the whole thing in friggin' 4K, which when I then tried to transfer that from the camera to my laptop to the cloud to upload it, it just said, no, because it was something like 22 gigs of video. So I apologize for that, for there not being an audio, or excuse me, not being a video episode of the last show. But today is going to be a very short form show, and we're going to do a data dive on Taurus revolvers. So as you guys know, I am the general manager of marketing for Taurus USA. I am an employee of Taurus USA. And you guys also know that I am a big time revolver aficionado. Like, I am a straight up revolver nerd, right? I love shooting wheel guns. I love running wheel guns. I love all of these things. And so I'm also not going to put this politely to myself, I guess. I'm not going to say that I'm like, we joke around in the gun space a lot about people having gun autism, right? And every now and then that rubs somebody the wrong way. They're like, you're not actually autistic. You're making light of people who, are autistic. And that's never our intent, right? We are using this as a fun way to say that we are hyper-focused and really, really obsessed with this particular niche in our hobby. So if during, at some point in this episode, I say I got the autism, it's not, please take it in the spirit that it's intended, not looking to get offended and stuff. But I did get the revolver autism. So I'm going to throw out some numbers at you guys. I have been logging pretty much every round that I have fired out of any gun, with the exception of guns that I use for training in the United States Air Force, because it would be difficult for me to log how many rounds I've fired out of 240s, which it's a lot, but I have no idea off the top of my head. This includes rounds that have been shot through my guns at demos. So, for example, if I take a 692 executive grade to a demo day, I'm going to log the rounds that go through that gun since it's one of my personal guns and we're trying to keep track of all of the rounds that go through these. So, I've been doing this since 2009 is when I started counting these rounds. I don't know why I started, actually. I think about that. I really don't know why I started, but in 2009, I started counting rounds. And then after Top Shot, my records going back to 2009 aren't super great. They're not nearly as complete as they are today. I got more and more obsessive about my record keeping as time went on. So, data from like 2009 to 2012 is a little bit spotty. From 2012, it gets really, really good. I'm not going to go into full detail, but we're going to start with some numbers and we're going to work our way down to the Taurus side of things. So, total rounds fired since 2009. This is all guns, all platforms, all makes, models, manufacturers that I have actually logged is 199,048. That's a lot of bullets. Moving on to ones that you might care about, Ruger revolvers, 21,507. Smith and Wesson revolvers, 14,383. All revolvers, this includes Colts. What else is on this list? In the all revolvers list, I've got Rhinos, I've got Colts, I got Heritages, I've got Manurins, I've got Korths. Obviously, I have Tauruses and Rugers and Smiths as well in that sort of all revolver category. Oh, I'm actually missing a couple from my all revolver category. Wait, no, I'm not. I was looking at the formula and I'm like, hang on, no, you're not. You have Ruger, Smith, and Taurus is all kind of combined. All right, so 70,542 out of all makes, models, types of revolvers. Sick. Taurus revolvers, 30,115. So I've surpassed my total round count on Ruger's, which was the one I had the highest on. Because for the longest time, I ran a Ruger GP100 in IDPA competition. I had one of the 9 mil Ruger Super GP100s, and it wasn't good. It would keyhole. I had to send it to Cylinder and Slide to get it fixed, which was frustrating. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. I have fired more rounds combined out of Ruger and Smiths than I've gotten to Taurus. I need another 5,000-6,000 before Taurus is, more than Rugers and Smiths together. But 30,000 rounds, 70,000 rounds is a lot of revolver shooting. So the first thing we'll talk about is some lessons learned from all of that shooting about revolvers in general. They break. And when they break, they tend to break in a way that's difficult to fix without the use of tools. And this is something that I have talked about before. For example, at Revolver Roundup this year, which I just got back from at Gunsight, we had guns go down. We had Smiths go down. We had Rugers go down. Not for nothing, we didn't have any Tauruses go down amongst the ones that I brought, which got the hell beat out of them, and also some students' Tauruses as well, but that's neither here nor there. I've seen Tauruses go down. All right. I'm not saying that it's better than these and it's impervious to failures. That's not the point of this. The point of this is that when revolvers do go down, it frequently requires tools and ingenuity to fix them. And this is because they are inherently more complicated than a semi-automatic pistol. There's everything in a revolver that happens mechanically, and it's this interwoven ballet of parts where if one of them goes out, the whole thing stops working. For example, we had a gun that we was sent out to a writer that got sent back to us because the ratchets on the cylinder were cut too deep, so the hand couldn't fully engage and it would lock the cylinder up. It happens. It just happens. But that's the first thing, is when revolvers go down hard. They just do, right? Like, you can have bullets in places they're not supposed to be, parts breakages, any one of those sort of things will deadline the gun. The flip side of that is if you just have an ammunition issue, yeah, pull the trigger, get to the next round. As a revolver guy, as Mr. Revolver, I feel now, after doing this for as long as I have, that whole, like, pull the trigger to get to the next round if you have an ammunition issue is sort of specious, right? Because I don't think that doing a tap rack is any more complicated than that. If I get a click instead of a bang in a semi-automatic pistol, I'm going to do an immediate action, right? And that's going to probably get the gun back into the fight. Same thing with a revolver. My immediate action is press the trigger again. And then the same thing as revolvers and semi-automatics. If immediate action doesn't get the gun back into the fight, then I'm going to proceed to remedial actions. A remedial action with a revolver, assuming the gun is still otherwise functional, like, let's say I pull the trigger and I get click, click, I get two clicks, right? Well, my remedial action isn't going to be to go all the way around the cylinder and try to get those again. I'm just going to reload the gun, which is largely what I would do as a remedial action with a semi-auto pistol anyway. So your immediate and your remedials are kind of the same. And I think that the argument of just pull the trigger again is a little bit hollow at this point. But I'm getting off track. So what other lessons have we learned? Well, we have learned that revolvers, and I've said this before, are incredibly tolerant of negligence, but not abuse. So, and when I say that, like, yes, my Taurus Model 82 has been tolerant of both negligence and abuse. That's an absolute fact, right? That gun has 12,920 rounds on it. I clean it semi-frequently, but by and large, I don't really do anything particularly significant to it. It has been tolerant both of negligence and abuse. I have other guns that's not the case. I had a Ruger GP100 of regular GP100 that I needed to clean religiously every 250 rounds, or the forcing cone would get so junked up with carbon that it would stop the trigger from advancing the cylinder, or it would make the trigger pull much, much heavier, right? I had an extremely problematic Smith & Wesson 929 that I don't even want to talk about. That gun was a great big baby, and it constantly was needing things. And if you shot it too much and too fast, the cylinder would heat up and expand, and then it wouldn't turn properly. So it did not appreciate being abused. The guns that I have seen in my career that are now, if you want to treat your semi-automatic, or excuse me, if you want to treat a revolver like you're a semi-automatic pistol, what revolver should you get? That is pretty easy. If you want to treat a revolver like a semi-automatic pistol, then you should probably get a Taurus 82, a Taurus medium frame. So the 82s, the 66s, the 65s, probably the 608s, although I haven't beat my 608 nearly as hard yet as I have beat my 82. But the Taurus medium frames. And actually, I'm going to go ahead and confine this statement to the 82s, the 66s, and the 65s, because those are medium frame, about L frame size. They have a reasonable amount of rotating mass in the cylinder. Those would be the ones that I would say, if you want to treat your revolver like a semi-auto and just beat the hell out of it and kind of not really take care of it, that would be the one I would pick. The second one I would pick for that would be a Ruger GP100, because I have beat the vast majority of my GP100s. I kind of beat the hell out of and treated like semi-automatic pistols and didn't really take good care of them. So, I ended up with a 10 mil GP100 with 3,500 rounds on it, and it ran great. And I definitely treated that one like not well, we'll say. I treated that one not well. So that would be that recommendation. If you don't want to actually take care of your gun and do maintenance on it, get a Taurus medium frame or a GP100. If you actually want to take care of your guns and do maintenance on them, get any revolver that you like. They're all pretty good right now. I talked about the golden age of semi-automatic pistols. I don't actually think we're in a golden age of revolvers, but I do think that if you go and you buy a revolver from Taurus or Smith or Colt or Ruger, your odds of getting a good one are the same across the board. And that's pretty cool because that hasn't happened for a long time. So let's now, I'm going to go down now through my various Taurus revolvers, and I'm going to go through the round counts of these. And I'm going to talk about like specific things that I've learned, seen, or done on those. So first and foremost, I have a Taurus 856. This is just a vanilla 3-inch 856 with 107 rounds on it. I couldn't actually tell you anything about that gun. I've only shot 100 rounds on it. That was the first Taurus I got. I actually went out and bought that one with my own money, and it's just sort of hanging out like hair on a biscuit, I guess. Moving on, I have the 856 executive grade. This gun has 1,667 rounds on it. That gun is one that I cannot treat like a semi-automatic pistol. The tolerances on it are good, they're perfect, but they're tight enough that if I shoot a ton of lead ammo, especially through it, I need to clean it pretty frequently. And even the carbon fouling from quality FMJ ammo means that I'm going to need to clean that gun more frequently than I would a semi-automatic pistol. My maintenance interval for that is every 250 rounds or so. I have an 856 Defender, which is the 3-inch Taurus 856. That one's got 568 rounds on it. Completely unremarkable. I shot that one in an IDPA match from AIWB for giggles. I have an excess front sight on it. It's a fun little gun. Like it a lot. I have the 905 Defender, which is what I'm carrying right now. That one has 400 and change rounds on it. And what I will tell you about that gun, 3-inch, 9 mil, 5-shot revolver, is I don't mind giving up with a 357 Magnum. I don't like giving up that round of capacity, right? So like if you're say Caleb, which would you rather carry, an 856 with 6 shots of 38 special, or a 605 with 5 shots of 357 Magnum? I'm gonna go with the 856 with 6 shots of 38 special, because I would rather have that extra round of capacity in the lighter recoiling cartridge than have all of the muzzle blast and all of the shock that comes with 357 Magnum. However, when you change that over to 9 mil, especially out of a 3-inch gun, I actually then don't mind giving that up because I am getting 357 Magnum ballistics out of this 9 mil revolver. I'm carrying 124 grain HSTs in here. Out of this gun into ballistics gel, they do exactly what the HST is designed to do. They penetrate 12 to 18 inches, they defeat 4-layer denim, and they expand. I know because I've done the test. So in that instance, I don't mind giving up that extra round because the gun's easier to shoot as a 9 mil than it is as a Magnum, and I'm getting better terminal ballistics than the 357. So I have kind of come 180 degrees in my opinions on 9 mil revolvers recently. Moving on, we have the Taurus Model 82 in 38 Special with, as mentioned, 12,920 rounds. I could do a whole show about that gun. I have a backup of that gun, which has 308 rounds on it. It's also fine. I have my Judge Executive Grade that has 1,093 rounds, and I have learned some fun things about that. That gun really forced me to rethink my opinions on judges. People who know me before I worked for Taurus know that I was the biggest hater of the judge in the world. Once, quite famously, on a in an interview, when someone was like, "Yeah, but the judge kills snakes good," I replied back with, "So does a shovel." Not my finest hour, but the thing that that gun really made me do was it made me like the judge because is it a good medium frame 45 Colt revolver? Yes. Does it lose some accuracy with 45 Colts because of the amount of free bore that the bullet has to jump before it engages the forcing cone? Also, yes. Is it more than accurate enough for the sort of shooting that anyone is going to use a judge for? Also, yes. Do I like it? Yeah, I do. And that was sort of the thing that like I ended up rethinking my opinions on the judge because I liked the gun so much. I was like, I like shooting this. This is fun. Especially if you load it with like low pressure 45 Colt cowboy loads, like, oh, it's beautiful. Anyway, it's fun to shoot. I judge, guys. Moving on, I have my 856 Toro with 1,236 rounds on it. This was the gun that made me really, really rethink the red dot revolver concept. So I had done a lot of work with red dot revolvers with the 586 L Comp. And on that medium frame, it worked really, really well. When we transitioned it to a small frame, there were issues with that that I didn't anticipate out of the gate, which we were then eventually able to solve with clever holster selection and thing like that and things like that. But this is definitely one of those guns that I was surprised about the community pushback we got on it, right? People were like, "Why are you putting a dot on a small frame revolver?" And I'm like, "Well, we're not really." The 3-inch 856 is a belt gun. That is a gun that's carried on a in a holster on a belt. It's not a pocket gun. I actually don't think that putting red dots on really small frame guns, like your 2-inch guns, like your J-frames, LCRs, and stuff like that, makes any sense because one of the big advantages of those guns is their concealability and your ability to just bung them in a pocket. You put a red dot on it, you completely lose that ability. Although they do turn into very, very fun, stupid people tricks guns when you put red dots on little tiny small frame revolvers. But I think the 3-inch Toros, the 856s and the 327s, is that envelope where the dot does start to make sense. But you got to be smart about your dot. Moving on, I have my 44 Mag Raging Hunter. This has 495 rounds on it, which I think is a lot of 44 Mag. It shot very few 44 specials. This gun needs to be cleaned. I have noticed that if I use it for demo days, range days, or stuff like that, and it starts to get any sort of carbon fouling or lead fouling built up on it, couple of the cylinders will start to, or a couple of the chambers will start to drag because there's, that tolerance window is getting messed with. So clean your guns, guys. I have an 856 with a bobbed hammer that I've only shot 96 rounds out of. It's a belt gun, not a belt gun. That one's got Barami hip grips on it. That's literally my underpants gun. By 992, Taurus 992, 1,309 rounds. This is our L-frame tracker-sized gun that has the 22 mag switch cylinder in it. The thing that I discovered about this gun, and your mileage may vary, was it really likes light, fast 22 LR bullets. And I think that's a design feature because it's got to shoot 22 mag bullets, which are going a lot faster. So it didn't like 40 grain subsonics or anything like that. But then once I started using stingers and punch and stuff that was, a little bit lighter, a little bit zippier, it was perfect. So, that's one of the things too. Sometimes with revolvers, once you find the ammo that your gun likes, just stick to that ammo. I have an old Model 66, this old six shot one that I bought. I've shot 61 rounds out of it. It is unremarkable and interesting. It's great. It's fun. I include the Rossi revolvers in my overall Taurus sort of experience because we're, one big happy family. My RP63, my 6-inch or my 3-inch Rossi, 423 rounds on it. Again, the best thing that I can say about this gun is that it's unremarkable because it does exist. It's steel frame, 6-shot 357 Magnum. It's like a 3-inch K frame. What else do you want? Moving on, my 7-shot Taurus Model 66, 927 rounds out of this gun. I don't really have anything to say about that gun other than I was surprised at how accurate it was when I actually shot it off a bag for groups. Tremendously accurate. It was as accurate shooting the same ammo off a bag for groups as my Chiappa Rhino Matchmaster, which is like built for PPC competition. Next, we've got the RM64 and the RM66. These are the 4 and 6 inch Rossis, 773, 623 rounds. I don't shoot these as much as I ought to, but they're great. Go get one. Moving on, my non-executive grade 692. That one has 682 rounds on it, the vast majority of which have been 9 mil. It's got a dot on it. It's great. Again, it's great. I'll talk more about the 692s when I get to the executive grade. I have two 327 FedMag Defenders with dots on them. They have 412 and 812 rounds on them, respectively. The one with 812 rounds on it, I found is very susceptible to leading with 32 mag ammo. So we shot a ton of Federal 95 grain lead semi wad cutter 32 mags at a demo event out of it, and that did start to lead the gun up. Again, I can't treat this like a Glock 19. You got to clean it. You got to clean your guns, guys. So I did. My Deputy in 357's got like 156 rounds on it. It's great. Single action gun. I have a 942 mag ultralight with under 100 rounds on it because I don't really shoot it that often. I have two 608 competitions. I have a pre-production model. The pre-production model has 533 rounds on it. Most of that was in testing, to test some of the design features like the internally adjustable, like the toolessly adjustable trigger spring. So that's a really good gun. I struggle with the big, it's a medium frame, is what we call a medium frame, but it's like an end frame size. I've always struggled with the big end frame sized guns, whether they're Super GP100s or 627s or the 608, because I feel like there's just so much mass that the gun that I'm having to move around when I shoot the gun that it feels slower than something like the 66, like an L frame sized gun. My 605 executive grade, 217 rounds. It's been mostly 357s. It's great. I don't really shoot that gun that often. I should probably shoot it more. I have another old Model 66 that has a Burris 1 power on it. That gun has a. The previous owner tried to do an action job on that gun and they screwed something up. So it's not as reliable in DA as I would like it to be. But for a single action 357 hunting gun, sure thing. My 45 Colt Deputy's got almost 200 rounds on it. It's fine. All right, now my 692 executive grade, 1,235 rounds. Most of that has been this year. 9 mil in a 357 revolver is a contentious topic for people because there is what I believe to be an urban legend that it's less accurate. I have shot that gun now at 25 yards, a ton, at 50 yards, at 100 yards, and there is no difference in practical accuracy between the 9 and the 357 cylinder. Is there probably a difference in mechanical accuracy? Maybe. I could call ransom rest and get a fixture and clamp it down and do all of that, but I don't care enough to do that because the practical accuracy difference is just not there. When I'm shooting 4-inch groups standing unsupported at 25 yards with FMJ ammo, I can't shoot any better than that with 38s unless I'm using like a cheater gun and wad cutters. So yeah, it's great. I love it. My second 608 competition has 240 rounds on it. I hope to get that number up in 2026. I'm really thinking diving back into USPSA competition in 2026, but we'll see. I always have these great, this is the time of year, right? December, when I get all of these great ideas about all of the matches I'm going to shoot next year and how much competition I'm going to do. And then life really, really gets in the way. So yeah, we'll see. I have a 44 medium frame, which is the Taurus 44, under 100 rounds on that. Basically, I validated that, zeroed it with Federal 200 grain lead semi wad cutter hollow point specials, and it's my bedside drawer in a Hornady RFID safe. So it doesn't get shot a lot because it's for a specific purpose. I have a tracker in 44 Magnum, the 2.5 inch Taurus tracker, 434 rounds. Here's what I've learned about that. It sucks shooting 44 mags out of it. 44 specials, great. And then lastly, I have three. I have my Raging Hunter in 460, my Raging Hunter in 350 Legend, and then I have the little bitty Taurus 850. That's our Bob Hammer 38. The Raging Hunter in 460, I have 76 rounds through that. That gun will probably never see more than 250 rounds in its lifetime because it's such a special purpose tool for a specific kind of hunting. I am taking it to Africa with me next year, and I'm going to kill a bunch of stuff with that. What I have learned about that is out of that 10-inch barrel that that gun has on it, you get a lot of ballistic advantage on your 460 rounds. I was shooting Federal Barnes 275 grain solid copper hollow points. Federal advertises these as going like 1600 feet per second at the muzzle. I was getting 1900 feet per second, like just crushing, right? Screaming out of that gun. So I'm really excited to go shoot those things into some thicker skinned African game and see what happens to it. The 350 Legend, I was supposed to shoot a hog with it this year, and I just haven't been able to get that to materialize. I will say the 350 Legend is fun because it's big and long and it's got a real bark to it, but the actual felt recoil is not that bad at all. So I would recommend trying one of those out. And then lastly, the 850 Bob Hammer DAO. That's my ankle gun. 35 rounds on it. Love it. It's great. I'm probably not going to ever shoot that one that much, but it serves such a specific purpose as a carry gun. Now, I have got numbers for all of these other guns that I've shot too, but that would make this video excessively long. I hope that you have enjoyed this data-driven breakdown and lessons learned from 30,000 rounds of Taurus revolver shooting and 70,000 rounds of revolver shooting. If there is one lesson I hope that you leave this episode of Gun Day Brunch with, it's you cannot treat revolvers like semi-automatic pistols. You need to clean your guns and you need to maintain your guns. How many times during this video did I say, oh yeah, that one I got to clean? Oh yeah, that one I got to clean. Revolvers are not semi-autos. If you shoot them a lot, you got to maintain them. I'm Caleb Giddings. We'll be back next week with another episode of Gun Day Brunch. Again, make sure you like, share, subscribe, and do all of those fun things that keep the podcast going. Thanks for watching.